The nine blocks of bars on Bourbon Street make up a legend that is a mashup of eras and ideas. It's as much the icon of New Orleans as Times Square is of New York or Hollywood is of Southern California. And like those places, it's an overcrowded embodiment of one very narrow truth. In our case, that truth is that in New Orleans, drinking is much more legally and socially permissible than in most American cities. You're allowed to drink outside, and not just on Bourbon Street. The law covers all of Orleans Parish, or most of the city. There's a special restriction in the French Quarter forbidding glass or metal containers, so if you decide to get a drink to go while you're in the quarter, it's best to ask for a go cup. It's also legal in Orleans Parish to drink in a for-hire vehicle, so theoretically you could drink in a cab, although you'll have a hard time finding a driver who would okay that. Mainly that law was passed to allow drinking on Mardi Gras floats. While it's mostly bars today, bourbon's history and its present are both more complicated than they look. The fact that Galatoire's, one of the most upscale restaurants in the city, is located on Bourbon Street and surrounded by strip clubs shows that it wasn't always as you see it now. For most of the 18th and 19th centuries, Bourbon was a quiet, middle-class street. Its name didn't even indicate a type of alcohol until the middle of the 19th century. Bourbon Street and Bourbon County, Kentucky, were both named for the Bourbon monarchy, who ruled France at the time when both areas were colonized, and it was only later and by pure coincidence that this bourbon became famous for bars and that bourbon became famous for whiskey. The first couple of blocks of Bourbon Street were getting rowdy by the 1890s, but the street was a mixed bag until well after that. It was home to an opera house until 1919, and, like I mentioned earlier, neighbor to a convent until 1964. But World War II brought a huge portion of the U.S. armed forces through New Orleans, and from there on, the shift to pure party district has been steady. New Orleans has gone through some hard times, and Bourbon Street seems to be as immortal as its reputation. Johnny White's, right here by the intersection of Bourbon and St. Peter, never once closed during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, which didn't flood the French Quarter, but did damage it and leave it without power. And other businesses along the street were among the first to reopen, feeding and entertaining rescue workers and journalists, and employing the returning residents of the city. As you go along Bourbon Street today, key sights are horse-mounted police officers, painted people posing for photo opportunities, and hand grenades, the most recognizable drink on Bourbon thanks to its very tall and somewhat grenade-shaped cup. You're also likely to see people throwing beads from balconies. If you want some thrown to you, generally some noise and arm waving is enough to do the job without you having to break any laws. If you don't want them thrown to you, you may get them anyway, so keep a hand free for defense. And bear in mind that while drinking in the street is fine, you generally won't be able to carry an outside drink into a new bar with you. When you're ready, make a right from Bourbon and St. Peter and continue two blocks to the intersection of Bourbon and St. Anne. Take a look to the left when you arrive, and you'll see an arch a few blocks away with the word Armstrong written in light-up letters. This is the gate to Armstrong Park, a landmark located outside the French Quarter, but important to the lives of many of its residents. Earlier I mentioned how French and Spanish-era law meant that even enslaved people had one day off every week, and Armstrong Park contains a Sunday afternoon gathering point where West African culture survived relatively undisturbed. The park is outside the French Quarter, which originally was the whole city, so that gathering place, called Congo Square, lay outside the city walls. There, enslaved and free people, some born in Africa, some in the Caribbean, some locally, would play drums and dance, a weekly tradition that some New Orleanians still keep alive. The rhythms of traditional West African music are a major influence on jazz and, through jazz, most popular music today. Appropriately, Armstrong Park was the original home of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, although it quickly outgrew the park, and you can still find smaller events taking place there throughout the year. This block is also important to the history of Bourbon Street, as it marks the end of entertainment zoning and the beginning of residential zoning. While the bars in the couple of blocks behind you mostly date from the last few decades, those ahead of you are much older and are grandfathered into the current zoning plan. Bourbon Street today is actually two bar districts grown together, the World War II-era tourist destination on one end, and a couple of blocks of early and mid-20th century gay bars here at the other. These couple of blocks become a particular destination during Pride in June and Southern Decadence in September, as well as during Mardi Gras and Halloween. But for the rest of the year, you tend to find more locals than tourists down here. A block ahead of you is Café Lafitte in Exile, a possible contender for oldest gay bar in the country, and a block past that is Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop, our next destination. Continue two blocks along Bourbon to the intersection with St. Philip Street when you're ready.